Hey guys, welcome to Sunday Nights at Refuge, a community-focused Bible study that gathers weekly in our Common Ground Cafe. So grab a cup of coffee or tea and your Bible. By the way, you can connect with us on Instagram at Refuge Family. Now, our prayer is that Jesus would use this message to draw you closer to Him. So if you're ready, let's join tonight's study.
I want to welcome up Pastor George. He's dear to our hearts here at Refuge because he comes from Zimbabwe and he's been studying at Biola. So we're going to welcome him up.
Good evening. It's good to be back in your midst, and it's always my joy to be here and interact with you. This is part of my family in the sense that I feel at home when I'm here because of the fellowship, the interaction, the openness that I find amongst you. And again, I want to express my appreciation to the leadership for allowing me to share God's word with you tonight. It's a great joy. And thank you for also the prayers you offer on my behalf. Those of you who are praying for me as I'm studying at Biola, with my family still being back home in Zambia. So, yeah, so thank you so very much. Tonight, actually, as I was reflecting on what to share with you, my heart settled on the whole issue of commitment. Imagine with me for a moment, you with your family being stuck in a house. You had planned to go out for a holiday, and in this house that you had hired, and in an area, isolated, nice, beautiful place. Imagine you're with your family, and suddenly the house is caught on fire. And the fire is so heavy, so powerful that you can't come out of it. You scream, no one can hear you because that house which you had hired is in an isolated area. And suddenly somebody walks by and hears the scream and comes forward and rescues your family. Of course, it takes a bit of bends on him, but your family is safe. What would be your response and attitude towards such an individual? I need some feedback. Thank you. Just thank you? What would be your attitude in life every time you recall and remember what this person had done for you?
Love. Grateful.
Gratefulness. If this person was to ask you to do something for them or for him, would you struggle to do that?
No.
If you have your Bible, stand with me to Romans in chapter 12. I would love us to look at the first two verses of Romans chapter 12. It's a passage that is well known, and some of us might have memorized this passage of Scripture. I'm using NIV version. The Bible reads, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters," I'll add that part, "in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is good, pleasing, and perfect will." Shall we pray once again? We thank you, Lord, tonight for this privilege we have to be in your house and to have fellowship and also to listen to your word. We pray that you would be the one visiting us and teaching us, even by your Spirit. Thank you for each one of us who is here. We pray that you are Father who knows our needs and where we are at the moment, that you'll be able to reach out to us. Bless us together as we go through your word, for Christ's sake. Amen. The passage that we've just read, Paul has dealt with the issue of sin in chapters 1, 2, 3. He is arguing on the problem of sin. And he also demonstrates the fact that both Jews and Gentiles are under the condemnation of sin. And he demonstrates that there is no one who can claim to be righteous in the sight of God. He goes on to demonstrate how man is made right in the sight of God, demonstrating the fact that you are justified by Christ. You are made right by Christ through his death. And he's been dealing with the teachings of Scripture related to salvation and our walk with God. So chapters 1 to 11 is about teaching. It comes to chapter 12. If you have NIV and other version of Bible, you will discover it starts with the word therefore. Connecting to what he's been talking about. In the light of what I have dealt with. Now, I want to encourage you, Paul is saying, Christianity is not just about learning these truths and knowing what Christ has done for us. There is a part you need to play. You are expected to live out your salvation. You are expected to demonstrate what God has done in your life by serving him and living for him. And tonight, I just want to share something in relation to commitment in serving God. And so he starts by saying, therefore, in the light of what I have said, offer your bodies as living sacrifices. Now, I would want to look at three things tonight. The first thing we would want to look at what it means really for a Christian to serve God. We want to establish the fact that serving God demands for sacrifice. We are to offer ourselves as living sacrifice. Paul addresses all the believers that they need to offer themselves in the light of the mercies of God, demonstrated to them, shown to them, in the light of God, what God has done in Christ Jesus. He is calling them to offer themselves to God. He is not commanding. He is not trying to force them to this call of sacrifice, to this life of committing oneself to God. He is pleading with them. He's saying, in the light of what God has done, in the light of his mercies you have experienced in your life, the forgiveness that you've come to know, the love of God that you've come to know, the deliverance that God has brought in your life, saving you from sin, bringing you into fellowship and relationship with the Father, in the light of all these mercies that you've continued to know since you came to know Christ, offer yourselves to God as a living sacrifice. This morning we were challenged. Pastor Bill talked about the love of God. We did not love him first. He loved us first. And because of his love, we respond to him in love and we are compelled and encouraged to love. In the light of what God has done for you, for me, in the light of his love for us, Paul is saying, offer yourself to God as a living sacrifice. Now, we need to remember that in the Old Testament, animals were offered by the person providing or giving that sacrifice. An animal had no choice at all. An animal was at the mercy of the sacrificer, if you like. And he had a choice to pick on whatever animal he felt was right to be presented before God. And that animal had to be killed in order for it to be offered to God. But he's saying for us, because we've been made alive in Christ, we are to offer ourselves as living sacrifices. We should not allow anyone to offer us. You and I must offer ourselves to God. No one should drag you. No one should force you. It should be a response out of gratitude in the light of God's mercies, how he has dealt with you. In the light of his grace and love in your life, as you ponder where he found you, when you had a life without hope, when you were not seen to be anything, but the Lord reached out to you. And in the light of God's mercy, offer yourself as a living sacrifice. Now, it is interesting to note that you see, the Lord desires us to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice so that we can be productive, so that we can serve him. What would the dead sacrifice do to the Lord? Nothing. We are to offer ourselves as living sacrifices to him so that we may serve him, we may actively be involved. And the manner that sacrifice has to be offered has to be a living one. And has to be that which is holy and pleasing to God. We must offer our bodies holy. Not a part of us should be left out. The whole of me ought to be offered to God. Like he argues in Romans chapter 6, where he's talking about every member of our bodies must never be offered unto committing sin, but unto honoring and pleasing God. Therefore, when you offer yourself, no member of your body should be left out. The entire you should be put on the altar of God. This act of giving our bodies as a living sacrifice is a spiritual act of worship. And the word used there for spiritual, it is translated reasonable. It's the only reasonable thing a Christian can do as a response to this God in the light of God's mercies. It is a sensible thing a Christian can do, having known God and experienced his love. It is our worship to God, where we engage our mind, our heart, being focused, knowing who we are offering ourselves to. We do not do it carelessly. We do it with understanding because we know the Lord Jesus Christ. The only challenge with a living sacrifice is that when it gets on the altar, when the altar gets hot, the danger and the temptation of crawling back out of the altar is still there. This morning, Pastor Bill reminded us of the disciples. When Christ died on the cross and was buried, they thought, well, that's the end of it. And Peter thought, well, I can go back to what I'm good at. At times in life, when things gets hard, when life doesn't seem to be going as we anticipated, at times we are tempted to think of crawling out of the altar so that we may sort our lives and we may sort our issues. But the place to be is to remain right there on the altar. As you offer yourself, you are not alone. The same Lord we're saying, offer yourself, is the one who also ensures that you remain and he watches over you as you give yourself to him, to be used of him. We are not only called to give or to offer ourselves as living sacrifices, but serving God also demands that we separate ourselves. Serving God demands separation. What does he say? He says, do not conform yourself any longer to the pattern of this world. The word there, conform, has a meaning of fashioning or designing. Let's pause for a moment. I'm married, and ladies usually like fashion, nice clothes. But these clothes we put on are just a piece of fabric before a designer sits down to set up a pattern. It's just a piece of fabric. And so a person will go to a designer, a tailor, and say, okay, I want this kind of a piece. And a designer, a tailor would cut that piece according to the fashion that the person desires. And Paul is saying we should not allow ourselves and our lives to be fashioned, to be patterned after the world. Because we are not of the world, though we are in the world. We need to conform after the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. I like the word that J.B. Field uses. He says, do not let the world around you squeeze you into its mold. I've watched these machines that make blocks which are used for construction. When you look at the heap of sand, cement, it's just a mixture of heap of dirty. But when it's put in a mold, it takes shape. We should not throw ourselves in the mold of this world and take the shape on us of this world. Because Christ has transformed and changed us. He has called us to live for him. And the word there also is the verb confirm has an idea of it's an ongoing process. It's not a one-day act. You constantly do it as you live, resisting every temptation of conforming yourself after the pattern of this world, because you know who you are and the fact that the Lord has called you to live for him. We constantly do not conform to the pattern of this world, though, like I said, we are in the world, we always remember that we are not in the world. The words of Paul in Titus chapter 2, verse 11 says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age whilst we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. When we get saved, the Lord gives us the grace. His grace is sufficient to walk us through in this new life we find in the Lord Jesus. It's not in our power, it's not in our strength. It's by God's grace and the Spirit of God who lives in us that we are able to live a Christian life. And none of us has any excuse to say, I'm not equipped enough. Because the Lord puts in us all that we need. What we need is to abide in him. Make sure you offer yourself to him as a living sacrifice. And the other thing that Paul brings out is the fact that if we are to serve God, he does not just call us and request us to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice or to separate ourselves from the world, but he also demands that we live sincere lives. Serving God demands sincere living. He goes on to say, be transformed by the renewal of your mind. The word they are transforming has a meaning of changing completely. Like, it's the same word is used for transfiguration when Jesus Christ was transfigured on the mountain. It is from this word, transformation, we have the word metamorphosis, where a larva changes into an insect, that process of transformation. Now, you need to realize this, that when the Lord saves us, it's indeed a complete transformation he brings in our lives. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, when we are in Christ, we are a new creation. The old has gone, behold, the new has come. There is this transformation. We are not made perfect at that moment, but it's a beginning. It's a process of being transformed after the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he's saying, serving God demands sincere living. We ought to live as a people who've been transformed and changed. We should not live like everybody else lives out there in the world. Why? Because we are God's people, a people chosen to live for Him and to bring glory and honor to His name. You see, we need to appreciate the same word is used in 2 Corinthians 3:18, where we are told, "And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit." The verb there, transform, reflects, again, like I said, an ongoing process. We must go on refusing to conform to the world's way and go on lifting ourselves to be transformed according to God's will. Be transformed by the renewal of your mind. This transformation happens as we constantly submit and allow our minds to be renewed. Let's pause for a moment. This building, 15 years ago, what was it? It was a store. There was a time I was taken around. It was a store. And if you look at this building today, it's been renewed. The word renewal has a meaning of renovation. Renovations has taken place, transforming this structure, this building, from what it used to be to what it is presently. And that renovation has not stopped. Constantly, some work is being done so that the transformation goes on of this structure. This is what God is saying. This transformation that has started in Christ has to continue. How does it continue? By the renewal of our minds, what we feed ourselves with, as our Lord, with the way we behave and conduct ourselves. What we feed the mind will affect our behavior. What we allow ourselves to indulge in or interact in will have an effect on the way we go on with our lives. And so he's saying this process of transformation can be a reality only if you allow your mind to be renewed constantly by allowing God's word to take over and to replace those thoughts that were of your past life. That process of renewing, replacing those thoughts which were leading you to living a life that was contrary to the will of God. Now that you are a Christian, allow God's word to richly dwell in you. And as you study, as you interact, as you learn God's word, it's not just for your mind, for the sake of knowledge, but it's meant to bring about transformation. It's meant to renew you so that constantly you can continue being changed after the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Like I said, renovation daily, those devotions, times of prayer, studying of God's word. Moments like this as we gather and listen to God's word, Sunday in, Sunday out, Wednesday in, Wednesday out, all those meetings that have been planned, they are meant for our growth, not just to know the word, but that our lives may continue being transformed and changed. Renovation must continue to take place in our lives. We must be willing to allow God's words to richly dwell in us. God has always desired that His chosen people be different from the rest of the people so that through our good works, through our lives, others may be attracted to the Lord Jesus Christ. We are an open book that is read by everyone. People should be able to see something different about us. Why? Because we have been transformed. We have been made new. We have been made new creation in Christ Jesus. We are to live for Him. We are to honor Christ. Verse 14 of Titus 2 says, "Who gave Himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and purify for Himself a people that are His very own, eager to do what is good." When Christ went to the cross to die, He didn't just die so that you and I can go to heaven, but He died so that He could save His own, who would live for Him as we continue to live here, as we await for His coming, who would continue reflecting the glory of Christ by living for Him. You see, we are not to act like chameleons who change according to the color and situation around. When we are with your bodies, those that you walked with and played with and interacted with, when you are with them, do you stand out for Christ? Can you be counted? Can they see something different about you? Or you act like a chameleon because you want to conform. You want to be cool with everyone. You don't want to be different. I don't want to offend anyone. So I just try to be like the rest. No. The Lord is saying, offer yourself as a living sacrifice. Do not conform any longer. Be ye transformed. Those friends, those colleagues, those buddies, those people who have known us in the past should be able to say, there's something different about you. Tell me the story. Then you'll be saying, there's someone who reached out to me. The Lord Jesus, who has done this, can do it also for you if you reach out to Him. It is fundamental transformation of character and conduct. I've reflected and paused for a moment. Imagine my family is far away in Zambia. My church where I pastor is far away in Zambia. I can choose to behave anywhere, anyhow. I can choose to be a hypocrite here. I'm thousands of miles away. I can be anything in the U.S. Being in a culture which respects freedoms and they give you space, I can become anything. But in the light of God's message, for the one who went to the cross for me, I do not entertain that thought at all. Because one day, you will come. How will I stand before Him? What will be my testimony? As I reflect and ponder, I'm saying, what will be the testimony to my girls? If they hear dad in the U.S. has become something else, he's conforming to the pattern of the world in that context. What will be the church become? What of other Christians, those have influenced over the years? What will happen to their faith? In the light of God's mercies, that's the motivation. But it has an effect to those that are close to us. As they watch our lives, they will be attracted to say, this Jesus truly does transform. This Jesus truly does change. And so we are called, dear brethren, not only to have appreciated Christ, embrace Him as our Lord and Savior, but to live for Him and serve Him with our lives. We have but a short period here on earth. What will you do with your life? And Paul is saying, we have this task to serve Him. And we can only serve Him with a genuine and true commitment if we offer ourselves as living sacrifices to Him. You cannot live this kind of a life if you have had no encounter with the risen Lord If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, there is no way you can offer yourself as a living sacrifice. The starting point is to reach out to Him. He makes you alive. When He makes you alive in Himself, then you can offer yourself to save Him. And the Lord did it all on the cross of Calvary. Anyone who reaches out to Him and says, Lord, I have tried to live my life. I've tried to be good. None of us can manage to live a good life. Sin has affected us. And it's for this reason that the Lord Jesus went to the cross. And as you reach out to Him, the Lord will make you a new creation. And as He makes you a new creation, you will be able to offer yourself to Him as a living sacrifice. And as you do that, Him who started a good work, He is faithful to bring it to completion. True service to God demands total surrender to His Lordship. And we can't play hide and seek with God. We can't. The Bible says God is never mocked. God, we can never play games with Him. We need to live out sincere lives, lives that reflect what the Lord has done for us. True commitment is commitment for life until the Lord comes to take us to be with Him in glory. As long as He gives us breath, we must remain committed to serving God out of gratitude for what He has done for us in Christ Jesus. This is the whole idea of offering our bodies as living sacrifices to God. This is what God expects from you and me. Without it, we are not ready to serve. We cannot serve God effectively if we are not willing to give ourselves fully to Him. Like I've usually illustrated, so often when we come to the Lord and surrender our lives quite well, we start well and we are moving on. But as we move on, there are certain sections of our lives where we feel, no, I'm still in control. I still want to run my life. Apart from Him, you can do nothing. The struggles that we go through is because we want to have one foot in the world and another foot in the kingdom. You can never run double standard kind of life. It must be a wholly surrendered life to one and Him alone, even the Lord Jesus. And you know the full joy of the Lord and the victory that comes in knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It's interesting to note that many of us desire to serve Him, but we are not willing to offer ourselves as living sacrifices. You can't do it without the other. Of course, the starting point, you can't do it drastically, it's a process. But reach out, this Christ, you can trust Him. You can trust Him as you offer your life to Him. He will not fail you. So as I wrap up, we need to remember this, that we should be committed to serving God because serving God demands sacrifice. Serving God demands separation. Serving God demands a sincere life where we demonstrate the reality of Jesus being in us, the hope of glory. They are watching us, marking all you do, hearing the things that you say. Let them see the Savior as He lives in you. There is a hymn, I guess that hymn we know it. I'm just quoting a hymn. The world is watching. And there are many people who are watching me. They are just waiting to hear what will happen where He is. But much more than being concerned about what people think about me, my concern is, what is the Lord thinking about me? In the light of God's mercies and what He has done for me, I choose and commit myself to offer my body as a living sacrifice. Not that I've attained perfection, but daily being transformed as I submit myself to the renewing work of the Spirit of God as the Word of God continues to dwell in me. May the Lord help us to live for Him and to serve Him, so that if any time He comes, He will find us ready to meet with Him and will not be ashamed to embrace Him on that glorious day when He appears. Amen. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for your word. We pray that you may help us to live for you and to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice to you. For Christ's sake, amen.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.
Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't want to be a prisoner no more. Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day that life begins. Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't want to be a prisoner no more.
No more.
Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day.